0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the opening weekend of the new Scottish League season. Celtic got an opening day win to bring the first set of fixtures to a close on Flag Night against Dundee. Graham Souness says Rangers recruitment has not been good enough and it's now on to Europe for the Ibrox side, as well as the likes of Hearts, Hibs and Motherwell. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Killian Sheridan and Gordon DL.
Yeah, it was certainly an interesting weekend spread over 4 days, Gordon, starting on Friday night at Tannadice and finishing last night at Celtic Park. You're looking at teams, one or two very happy with the way they've started, hit the ground running. One or two maybe okay, and then you look further down, one or two performances worrying. You just wonder, transfer window, reinvestment into squads again, Gordon, to try and get them up and running. But I thought there were some really, really great games. Wasn't looking forward to the St Johnstone Kilmarnock game, I've got to be honest with you, but I thought it was an absolute cracker. 7 goals, and then Celtic finished it off last night with a 1-0 victory against Dundee.
Did you enjoy it, Killian Sheridan? The opening weekend, everything you hoped it would be and more?
Yeah, I loved it. Probably my favourite thing about it was so you've been able to watch every single game and you see every single team play and you can actually properly form opinions and views on teams and how they play and stuff. It was more of that, please.
Yeah, I appreciate that's not always good for match-going fans, is it? But, you know, there is that way for the neutral, if you like. Always nice to be able to keep an eye on things. What is a recently retired footballer doing a Saturday afternoon, though? Did you find yourself just checking the Brechin score?
This weekend I've managed to get home, so I was travelling, keeping an eye on some results and games. And
on a semi-serious note, did you feel yourself like Saturday 3 o'clock sort of missing that buzz, that thing you've always done? Or not really?
Nah, not really. I don't think so.
That 5 hour
not yet
journey.
Anyway.
No, you didn't miss that 5 hour.
No, the thing was, it was a 3 o'clock kickoff, but it was about a 8:30 start or a 9 o'clock start.
So you didn't miss that.
No, the travelling is behind me now, I think.
Fair enough.
Great to be retired.
But even I don't know what to do with myself on a Saturday afternoon if there's no football on. So I just wondered how you recently... No, I don't know why I'm looking at you and saying recently retired. And you don't even like football anyway.
So. No, retirement was the best thing that ever happened to me. Loved it. I can sit back. I totally agree. I loved the weekend's football. Yes, it's not good for the fans because the times and days and everything are up in the air. We had 1 3 o'clock kickoff. It was a Saturday in the Premiership. So, I thought there were some good games there, Gordon. And as I said earlier at the top of the show, I thought one or two teams really impressed me. I think St Mirren were excellent at Falkirk. But there's one or two, and it'll be interesting to see what the Celtic and Rangers fans think of their new squads after watching them on Friday and obviously last night at Celtic Park.
Well, answer the man, 0141 951 1025, particularly last night because that's freshest in the memory. What did you make of it, Celtic fans? What impressed you? What didn't impress you? What are you looking forward to seeing more of? Is there anything that needs fine-tuned? Of course, there was always going to be a big spotlight on Casper, who made his debut, missed some chances, was in the right position to get those chances. So how do you assess his performance? How do you assess the team's performance overall? Those usual questions that come off the back of a night like last night. Is it all just about the 3 points? Are you cutting slack because of the debutants? And earlier on in the season, what do you make of fitting Casper, who and Camilo Duran into the same team? Are there things about the performance that maybe concerned you going forward, heading into Europe? Was it the final act for Alistair Johnson and Arne Engels? And Dundee fans, feel free to wade in there as well. So I think there was loads to take away. Although it was only 1-0, there was just loads of intrigue from that game last night, loads to analyse. So let's hear all your thoughts, Celtic fans, and if there's something you think you've picked up on from the game that we haven't, which is entirely possible, again, 0141 951 1025. Any leftover thoughts from the weekend? Last night we had the Celtic game to get stuck into. We focused a lot on some of the big talking points, so if there's anything you think we've missed, maybe, as Gordon says, fans of the likes of St Mirren maybe want to get in touch and let us know how impressed you were with your start to the season. And very quickly, we're on to European action this midweek as well. And never let it be said that we don't pay unbelievable attention to detail on this show. There will not be many radio shows anywhere that have gone to the trouble of scouring the globe for a player that used to play for the team that Rangers will come up against on Thursday.
I thought you were going to try and say the name there for a second.
No, I thought I'd let you to it.
Jagiellonia Białystok.
Dazzler, do you want to repeat that for us?
Nah, whatever he said, I'll go with. Who's the player? Him or you?
Sure. Nah, that's one of my one of my few.
Oh, Poland. You can give
the
us
two
an
so I'll give you half an hour to gather your thoughts. Then I want you to give us everything we need to know. Tactical deep dive, history of the club, everything we need to know.
I've got it. I've all here in the tip of my tongue.
That's why you're booked.
All the bars, club.
That's why he's been booked for tonight. I knew it would come in handy eventually. We've just been waiting for one of his clubs to come up in Europe. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need to get your thoughts over to us. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill then. Just general thoughts on last night's game, performance, win against Dundee.
I'm hoping that's almost like a typical first game of the season for us. I didn't think we played particularly well for most of the game. Did enough to win. Despite that, we had some really great chances that maybe could have put the game to bed a lot earlier. But overall, yeah, we were a bit rusty.
0141 951 1025. Short and sweet from Martin O'Neill. We'll get him to elaborate a bit more on the striking situation and so on. Killian, it's day one of the season. There's a long way to go. That will not stop us or anyone else from jumping to major conclusions, I'm sure. So what did you take away from it?
I just felt like everything, it was as if the league just continued on from what was happening the end of last season. I think a lot of Celtic fans were probably thinking, last five or six games of the season, yeah, 3 points at any cost, that's all that matters. But I think now you're kind of, I think everyone was a little bit, there's some optimism and excitement given the attacking signings. And probably myself included, got a little bit sucked into that where you're expecting, right, there's going to be a big, massive change. Didn't see that. It was almost like stumbling to a 1-0 win. Dundee, to be fair, made it very difficult for Celtic, but it just looked like very much the same style and pattern of play that we saw near the end of the season. I think they really need to get some more signings in the attacking area and actually play. I feel like if Duran, he looks good and lively and wanted to be in the game, but you could see he just didn't really look comfortable out on that right wing. So they probably need, I would say, one or two at least wingers to get in as soon as possible.
What do you make of that, Celtic fans? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with any of that? 0141 951 1025. Paul will kick things off. It was an opening day win, Paul. Are you happy or room for improvement? How would you sum it all up?
Good evening, panel. I just thought it was pretty perfunctionary. I mean, we got by and we would get by. We had the majority of the possession, which you would expect at home, particularly on a flag day. But for me, I think the clear issue is, I mean, you know, I would very much agree with what Killian said about Duran. I mean, I think he was okay on the right, but he's clearly not a right winger. I feel very much so that we just need to get deals done. There needs to be more players in. Obviously, there's going to be players out. I mean, I think it's going to be clear that Engels and Johnson are going to go, and I think Hatate will probably go probably more near the end of the window. But for me, I think there's a very clear issue here in that we aren't getting the deals done. You know, okay, we've got two players in, Casper Hu and Camille Duran, which is fairly decent for us, but we clearly needed a much bigger overhaul. And for me, there's a real issue here in that Michael Nicholson is doing the deals. Now, the CEO of the football club should not be the guy that's out there doing and negotiating the transfers. There should be somebody in charge of the football department. Now, back after we let Neil Lennon go and the John Kennedy thing happened at the end of the COVID season, we were supposed to be revolutionising the football department when we meant to bring in Eddie Howe, bringing in a new approach and bringing in, you know, someone to run the football department. Now, there was all sorts of excuses made on that. We brought in Ange. Ange didn't want to work with the director of football or whatever, or just wanted to work with Mark Lavell or Peter Lavell, just wanted that. Who knows? But At that point in time, we didn't move forward there. Now, Ange worked well with agents and agencies. However, since then, because we've not had that, we don't get deals done. And Michael Nicholson isn't the guy to do that, right? And you shouldn't be wanting your CEO to do that at this point in time in football. We need to have a dedicated head of football operations that can go and get deals done. And that's clear, because we are not getting the transfers done. They're sitting there, they're not getting finished, and we need the players in.
It's an interesting sort of multi-layered conversation I think a lot of Celtic fans are having, Gordon, because I think most will agree with Paul. And if you're talking about bigger picture and needing more bodies in, especially if Arne Engels and Alistair Johnson go, that all makes perfect sense. Also last night though, you feel like when you look at that starting 11, that looks pretty strong. You know, when that lines up last night, there aren't any glaring issues with it. The £17 million worth of forwards play. Was the performance a bit underwhelming for you, or is that not the point? Is it too early to be saying those things?
Yeah, I think it is a bit early. It's a bit early for every team, but you really want to get off on a good foot. Celtic won the game 1-0, 3 points. Yes, Martin O'Neill came out, openly admitted wasn't the best performance. Sometimes you get that. I totally agree with you, Gordon. When I looked at the starting 11 last night, I thought that's very, very strong. But Celtic need bodies in, because if these English Premiership clubs like Everton come calling for Alistair, they've got the money, they've got the finances that they're going to take him away from Celtic. So Celtic will know that. Ingles is the same. So they need people in. I totally agree with Paul. I just think they get caught, you know, sleeping quite often in the transfer market now, Celtic. You can't argue with their business, right? They brought in two guys at £17 million. They've also got money in for players going out of £16 million. So basically right now their transfer business is something in the region of £1 million or whatever it may be, which is buttons to Celtic. Yes, they have got a good starting 11 there last night. You've seen that, of that there's no doubt. But going over a course of a season and try to progress in Europe, your cups and everything that you've got, I think Celtic really need to start getting players in the building. And obviously they'll be looking to get people out as well.
Did you expect more last night, Paul, or not, based on the sort of concerns that you've just outlined?
I expected slightly more from the new signings. I thought Duran was underwhelming, but played outside on the right, I just didn't feel he stretched the wing. I mean, I think with Kasper who it will come, you just need to give him better service. But I think this is a team which is slightly in flux, but it shouldn't be this in flux at this point in the season. And I think that's probably where the issue is. I just go back to the fact that we should have been much more aggressive in getting deals done. And I just don't feel, like I said, Michael Nicholson is the guy to get those deals done. But Michael Nicholson should not be the guy to get those deals done. There should be someone. He's a lawyer. He's not a man with a history of football acumen. You want someone who has that, or indeed both. And I think if you looked at the team last night, beating Dundee United, Dundee at home, and getting by that narrowly. We did that last season, but last season wasn't a great season anyway. So even though we won the league, we were very poor for large points of it. We need to be better this year. And there needed to be a serious refreshing of the squad, and it's not happened. So that, for me, just needs to happen between now and the end of the window. Or, I'd rather not have to go through what we went through last year, because that was just a joke. So hopefully we can get our business together. But I think long term, as I said, I really think from a strategy perspective, we really need to get the football department in a much better play and get somebody in place that can get deals done and knows how to get deals done.
Look, there's a lot there. There are a lot of vacancies that need filled and all that sort of stuff. Killing, how much of last night's performance specifically though was about lack of transfer business? Now I get there's maybe a slight issue there with, do you want to play Duran off a side? That I accept. But apart from that, back to what I said to Gordon, that starting 11 should be capable of? You know, what are the transfer issues within that starting 11 last night? Squad overall, maybe going forward this season, fine, but in that starting 11,
the starting 11, I thought the thing that stood out was Yang being moved to left wing. If Yang had such a good season and was playing so well, you're not moving him out of the position that he was performing in so well. I thought that was a little bit telling, where if that was Daiza Maeda last season, he wasn't being moved or shifted over to, I know he played striker, but he wasn't being shifted over to the right wing. And I think we've seen previously last season, anytime Yang isn't playing on the right wing, he's just not near the player he was. He never really, didn't feel like he ever really took on players. Anytime he got up near a fullback, was just laying it back for someone else to cross. So I just think bits like that feed into the whole attacking style and sense of how Celtic look to be trying to set up. I think they'll look much different with Casper Hu and Duran up front. I know a few people have said it, like, where he's trying too hard. He's not rusty. I still think he was getting some bits of service. He still had maybe 3 attempts on goal that probably one or two of them probably should have done better. Overall, I was relatively pleased with how he performed, but I think Paul said it there best, that it's a structure issue at the club. Like, yes, Michael Nicholson shouldn't be the one doing deals or brokering deals. There should be someone in place for that kind of thing, and identifying players and having everything in place for when Arne Ingle goes or Alistair Johnson leaves, they've got someone identified straight away and almost ready to come in as soon as a deal happens.
Thank you to Paul. What about Kevin on the other line? What did you make of it last night, Kevin?
Hi guys, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I thought it was kind of similar, what Martin O'Neill described it, of wasn't a great performance. I didn't think it was a great performance. I wasn't at the game, I watched it in the house. But as far as the new signings go, we obviously are missing wingers. We probably could do with two, but I think that will happen. Duran is definitely not a winger, and Martin O'Neill alluded to that in his pre-matches and on that, saying he was got to try and maybe move him into number 10, but it sounds it. But we obviously do need wingers, and I think Celtic have been slow. I honestly do. But that team, where I think two will leave, is solid. That team's good enough. But we do need the wingers. We need creativity. That's one thing I think is lacking for the Celtic team. Like a proper, like we used to have Jota, but forget about that. But we need a winger.
What did you make of the new strike duo, if you like, Kevin? I know they didn't both play there, and you mentioned that. What about Casper Hu in particular? Because it's the first time we've seen him at all. Big transfer fee. What did you make of him?
Casper Hu, I thought there was certain points of the game he held the ball well. He got himself in good positions to get his chances. But to be honest, I thought he fluffed a cut with him. But he got there. It's his first game. He can't really judge anybody in the first game. But I thought he held the ball well. It's been a long time since Celtic have had a target man. It looks like that's what he might be. And he's just getting his feet under the table. So I think that's what it is. I think Duran looks like he's got a really good left foot on him. And I think he would be dangerous playing in amongst the box. I don't think he's good on the wing. I think in amongst the box, he looks like he could be really good.
Gordon, you're generally, and I feel like I know you well on this show, quite big on taking heart from when strikers get chances. You're an XG man at heart, that if Casper Hu gets those chances every week, he's just not going to keep missing them.
No.
Is that how you saw last night?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think everybody can excuse him. He's obviously getting to know his teammates as well. I think that if you're playing with them, me personally, if I was playing the number 10, I'd take a few chances in behind, because I think he's very good at flick-ons as well. He can hold the ball up. Bit of sharpness needed, of course it is. Look, I didn't look at him last night and think, oh, he's missed blatant sitters. There are a few half chances. They're difficult ones. Thought Dundee defended well against him, put him under a little bit of pressure. The one in the first half, he's got a bit of time and he just scuffs it by the post, which you're thinking you're looking for a little bit better. Hit the target, make the goalkeeper work. But if Celtic get the right people in the right positions and they start creating, he looks like a player that once he gets his first goal, he'll be up and running. I think he's a confident lad. Now, he come in for a bit of criticism because he come out after and said, look, I'll need to go do a bit of practice shooting practice. Now, I like that. You know what I mean? It's like, look, yes, I've not scored in my first game. And Killian will tell you, when you go to any club as a striker, right, and it's a new club, you just want the first goal. See, the minute that first goal comes in, everything's lifted from you.
I thought it was quite interesting as well when he said about getting used to the grass. Now, it's easy to scoff, and I know he played in the Champions League and he'll have gone to away venues, but the Norwegian League has got 13 out of 16 teams have got artificial surfaces. Now, I'm not saying it's a massive thing. I'm not saying stick them on Astro, they automatically go in. But I just wonder if we should totally dismiss it the way that Scottish people normally would.
I wasn't really buying that one.
You think that would take us? What if it was the other way around?
Going from a grass. See, I liked Astro. I like a good Astro over a dodgy grass pitch in the wintertime anyway. But I thought, like what Gordon was saying there about him being the target man, I thought Ryan Astley actually defended him quite well. Mm-hmm. But I found he was more of a... I just thought sometimes he was trying to wrestle with the defenders too much rather than kind of like...
We'll see on that, because Gordon... I've seen this said about people that have watched him before. You know, there's the temptation. You've maybe been in that situation, the size and all that. But is he a target man, though? You look at all the good work that he apparently did at his previous club. He's just meant to come alive in the penalty box. Did Celtic use him right?
I never felt as myself being a target man.
That's what I mean.
In the first half, see when balls were played up to him and the defender kept getting in front of him. But then when those balls going up that he could win flick-ons, he won loads of the flick-ons. I was like a little bit similar feeling where I'd always feel more comfortable winning every header rather than holding off a defender and taking the ball in. And it just looked as if sometimes he was trying to wrestle with the defenders a little bit too much, especially for crosses into the box where maybe it helped where it frees up Negrin and he is a free header. But I just think, like Gordon was saying, it will take him a little bit getting used to, first of all, his new players, the way the team's playing, what players do, what the wingers do, what the midfielders do, but also the league. I think you see so many players come in and...
I think he's a box striker. I really do. I think that once he settles into the game, the pace of the game, everybody knows. I think once he gets the first goal, I think he could be capable of banging in a few.
Thank you, Kevin. 01419511025. Why not join in? We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dalziel are here, primarily looking back on Celtic's Flag Night performance, but also anything else from the weekend, going forward to Europe, or anything else that has tickled your fancy this evening. I noticed Hearts have been unsuccessful in Stuart Finlay's appeal for the red card he picked up against Aberdeen. Don't know if that quite goes down as a big refereeing controversy to kick off the new season. I don't think it's quite reached those heights yet. But if you have any thoughts, please do get in touch. Celtic fans, this is what Martin O'Neill had to say on the new strikers from last night.
I do think that when the season progresses that they will be really good for us. I don't think that wide right is really Camilo's position, but we put him there because we haven't really had a chance to practice that much with the, you know, maybe the two of them playing together or him playing just behind. So hopefully he'll do that in the next couple of weeks. Casper, he missed a few chances. I thought that he can do better, definitely do better, but I think he will be an acquisition for us. He will do fine. He missed a few chances tonight. The normal answer of any player, oh, I didn't do it, I didn't put the price tag on. Yeah, I think he'll live up to it. I do, honestly.
We are going to see a bit of that. That's not to say you're not allowed to criticise the guy. It's a bit like Chirmiti, it happened before last season, Arne Engels. As soon as the price tag reaches that sort of level, and even any new signing,
I'll not be mentioned for the first two or three games. If he doesn't score for the first two or three,
I think it was mentioned within 5 minutes.
Nah, I think the price tag will start. But I think the boy can handle it. I think he's confident. I'm listening to him tease and interviews.
Oh, he's confident, all right.
Oh, he's that's what you need as a striker. You need to be confident because you really have to put the ball in the back of the net. And I keep going back to it. You go to a new club, especially a club the size of Celtic, then you're just desperate to get your first goal. Once you get the first goal, you can just relax.
He also looked quite positive after every action, like that. If he missed a chance, and he was straight away like kind of applauding the yeah. cross into him or the pass into him. He never really like had his head in his hands or like he always looked as if he was confident that he, I think he knows that he will get chances and he will eventually convert them.
Yeah, I mean, what if you go through them? The first one, is that a kind of early game nerve eagerness? I think he's got to totally scuffs that one.
I think that's the one he's got to do better, right? I think I
is
can
that more
understand
of a miss
the rest
than
of
the next one where it is it comes to shot then?
Yeah. He sort of reacts very quickly, and then one in the second half where, you know, defender, I think the defender puts him off, does brilliantly, but he still gets his shot away and it just goes by the post. But I do, I watched him last night. I think he'll be a good sign for Celtic. I think he is a box player. He looks sharper to me. If you get decent quality balls in the box, I think that's where his strength will be.
The other thing about him now is probably him and Tchermidi as well, I suppose. 10, 11 million pound strikers or players now aren't the like 10, 11 million pound players from 10, 15 years ago where it's an established name that everyone knows exactly what they're getting for. There is still a little element of the unknown with them. So they kind of have a lot of
because he arrives with that Champions League reputation from last season. Maybe yeah. feels slightly different. But Gary's on the line. Gary, how do you view last night then?
Hi, good evening, Gordon and Killian. Hope you're all well.
Good, thanks.
Hi, last night, wasn't as good as I expected or hoped it would be. But 3 points, it was the kind of obviously the main aim. But although it was only one, Celtic did create chances. I mean, the kind of half chances, maybe for Hawke, maybe better than half chances. You've got the one way Arnie Engels at the header. You've got McGregor hitting the post. So, I mean, it was a kind of bleak 1-0, but it could have been a lot more comfortable. And I do think that Hawke, as well, much as he missed the chances last night, brings a lot more than just goals. I think he's kind of hold up play, as somebody's alluded to earlier on. The kind of out ball, he'll hold the ball up, link up play, bring players into play. So I think, the goals will come and he will be a great all-round striker for Celtic, I think.
Yeah, well, if you're paying that sort of money, you're hoping that is going to be the case. Yeah, he's just settling into his new surroundings. Look, I never looked at Celtic last night and thought there were any trouble. I thought Dundee were well organised. You know, Presley's, he's been excellent at Dundee. I thought he had a great season with them last year, especially when under a lot of pressure, fans not really want him. I think his opening statement, his first media meeting wasn't the best he could ever say as a manager. But he turned it round, and last night you've seen he's done a lot of work. Dundee will be okay in the league this year. I think everybody was just expecting Celtic to turn up there. You've got £17 million worth of new talent on the pitch. You're looking at your starting 11, very strong indeed. And you're thinking, right, it's Dundee, Monday night. Well, we should go out there and it should be a comfortable 3-0. But the most important thing is hit the ground running. 1-0, yeah, you've got a lot of work to do. Even the manager says it wasn't a great performance. But it's 1-0, it's 3 points in the bag and away you go.
How do you fit them both in, these new strikers, Gary?
Well, good question. Depends on the formation you're playing. I think Martin might just have kind of gave it away there by saying and that kind of the hole there, the kind of behind the nine, number 10 role. I don't know, obviously they work on it in training. But definitely if you can't play Duran behind them, then you've got to change your formation and play the two up front if you're going to play them.
I don't see how he fits them in there, right? And the reason I'm saying that is you've seen the goal scorer last night again. He's come off a brilliant season, 21 goals last year, Negrin, right? He loves to play that position. Now, the one thing about this guy is you see him in his overall play and you don't really see him lighting up a game, but he's got a brilliant knack of getting in the box and his timing, and he's a finisher. You look at last night, you've got to give credit to Tierney. What a ball that is, and right? But he makes
it
run.
Is he the standout for Celtic?
Tierney, I think Tierney will have a massive season. I think he's just getting better and better. He's a talented player, isn't he? But my worry is, if Alistair Johnston leaves as well, my worry would be for Celtic is they've not got a lot of cover in the fullback areas. You know what I mean? Okay, Donovan come on last night. You've got Ralston there as well.
And Johnston ended up finishing at left back, didn't he?
Yeah. So is that what you're really wanting? So I think they'll need a bit of cover.
Killian, so what about this? How this fits in? Because, you know, did you see anything at all to suggest? I joked earlier on that we'll all jump to conclusions after one game, but the opinion I've seen that people seem really certain of already is that after one game they don't want Camilo Duran to play off the side. Is that fair, or again, is that something that you saw room for growth?
I didn't think he was that bad on this. I didn't think he looked that out of place.
It's not necessarily a slight on him, is it?
No. Just, I think he looks like he has the capabilities to play there. He likes to come in, bounce things off the strikers, the inside midfielders, looks comfortable on the ball. I think it's an easier position to adapt to than if you were to come from winger into play striker or a different position. I think most good, decent attacking players should be able to play it in some winger role. But I think it is quite clear that he would be more preferred in kind of as a two. Even the fact Martin O'Neill has said it, that I felt like that was a little bit of a plea to the board or to the people who are making the signings, that he's admitted that no, that's not his position. I've had to play him there because effectively I don't have a right winger to play there.
Well, he came in at pre-season and he scored goals, hadn't he?
Three in the three friendlies, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. So and the manager's saying, look, it's not his best position. But he had to play him there last night. He wanted to get his two guys on the pitch. Whether he does look to play him in that role just behind, or I think Celtic are well capable, and it's changing now. A lot of teams are going to two strikers up top. Celtic like to go with a 4-3-3, but I don't see why, if he gets the right personnel in.
What would that look like? Because that'd be quite a big departure. You know, the season has started already.
Yeah.
You know, the Champions League qualifier is it in 2 weeks for Celtic? What was the plan, if you know what I mean, from the start of the summer and when all this was getting built? What was the plan to be to get two expensive strikers and play them both?
Well, I don't know. Or you need strikers anyway. You've lost one out of the building, and everybody says they've never replaced Kyogo. So, and then Maeda goes, so you need strikers right away. So you're going to bring in maybe two or three strikers in the window. Of course, yeah. Now, if you look at what I'm saying is, you look at the midfield three that he plays. Now, if Engels happened to leave, you know what I mean? Celtic at home are well capable of playing 4-4-2. You know what I mean? Because they've got good players. If they get the right width, the wide players, that's going to suit that formation. Whether he does that or not, I don't know. He might stick to the 4-3-3. But you noticed last night, you don't bring in a striker, you play him off the right and identify right away, look, that's not his best position. You've got to be fair to the boy as well. Get him into his best position, because you've seen him pre-season. He come off, hit the ground running, scoring goals with Celtic in pre-season. I know it's friendlies, but that leads into confidence for me.
Gary, sorry, on you go.
It goes back to, like, who's leading who there? Like, who's signing the players for the positions? Or is a manager signing players that he wants for his system? Or is someone signing players to fit into a system, and then it's there for the manager to go and coach and do what they can do? Where, like, that's why you could see the new Motherwell manager, Johansson, he's come out and said, I've come in here, I knew what Motherwell want. They want a style of play. They've given me the players, the squads, and this is what I have to do. I have to produce a style of play. And that, I feel like that's the way it should be.
Gary, do you think last night was the final game for Engels, Johnston, either of them, both of them?
No.
I think they'll stay for a bit.
No, I think there'll be surely some can reach an agreement where you get a couple of weeks, maybe past the first qualifier at least, maybe the two of them. But no, I think the two of them will play another game at least, maybe two.
It's funny, you see, because you're looking for any clue. I saw Alistair Johnson clap the fans in a way that just looked perfectly, just looked perfectly normal to me. But then obviously you're like, people
clapped,
are studying,
clapped a bit harder,
yeah, like done, faster yeah. than normal, yeah. zoomed in, people zooming in to see if there's any signs that.
I know what Gary's saying. I think everybody would be going, yeah, keep them for another couple of games. You know, it was looking back to the time when people...
How do you think Engels was last night, though? I think Johnson speaks for himself.
Johnson's a certainty to go to the English Premier League, and he'll handle that no problems. You've got all the talents to go down there.
Engels didn't play as well as Johnson did last night, did he?
But I think clubs that are looking at Engels still see a lot of potential in him, Gordon. He is a good player, right? Sometimes he's in and out of games. He doesn't show his real talent. But for me, I think he's still a very good player. And I think that if he does take the move, then he can progress into being a better player, which Celtic are home to have.
I'd be shocked if in January he wasn't told, look, if these deals come back in the summertime, we're not going to stand in your way. And I'd worry that if that is the case and they're now standing in the way of him getting these moves, then it can be hard to play under those circumstances.
Thank you very much, Gary. The Cash for Kids Sports Challenge is back for 2026. So we're giving local clubs in Glasgow, Ayrshire, the west of Scotland, the chance to compete for a share of thousands of pounds in funding. It doesn't matter, football, rugby, dance, grassroots sport, whatever it is, the challenge is to just try and give more opportunities to disadvantaged children in our community. So every group gets to keep 100% of the money that they raise and then benefit from expert fundraising tips from Cash for Kids. There's the chance to win top-up funding. Every group that raises £2,000 gets an additional funding boost of £500 as well. There's loads of different incentives here. So if you go to clyde1.com/cashforkids, you can apply there. Applications close Monday the 7th of September. So why not get your team involved and help make sport more accessible for everyone? We'll take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Killian Sheridan are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Ross dialed the number. How are you, Ross?
Hi, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. What have you got for us?
After last night, I was absolutely furious when I left Parkhead last night. There's no way that I was happy with that.
Furious, though? Are we going that far?
I was furious, Gordon, absolutely furious. See the first half? There's absolutely no intensity whatsoever. And for me, if Arnie Engels wants to leave the club, I'll happily drive him to the airport. And do you know what? I would actually let him go on a free. He's actually that bad. Negrin is just no good enough for Celtic. Yang is no good enough. Just last night for me was absolutely shambolic, and the fact that Martin O'Neill's coming out saying, "Ah, well, it was okay." No, it's no okay. That is no good enough. And for me, the honeymoon period's over. If that's good enough for Martin O'Neill, then wow, that's generally no for me.
I like some strong language on this show, Ross. I've worked with Hugh Keevans long enough, but right, are we going shambolic? Won the game, shambolic. Had it, you know, passed up some decent chances. I'm not saying it was anywhere near vintage. Shambolic.
Shambolic, abysmal, underperformed. It was nowhere near the level that Celtic need to be at. And as I say, if we're being serious about this Champions League qualifier, then we're in for a shock, because that is nowhere near the level that we need to be at. And the fact that Alistair Johnson has to go to left back because we don't have a left back, that is alarming itself. And just for me, as I say, Martin O'Neill done a great job last season, came in, won a double, but the honeymoon period's over now. And for me, if he's serious about this job, then start taking it seriously, because the Celtic fans are getting frustrated. Last night around Celtic Park, there was a frustration from the majority of the Celtic fans that were unhappy about the game last night, and we got away with it last night. A 1-0 win against Dundee, fine, we won the game, 3 points, but it's nowhere near the level that we need to be at, not at all.
Is there no chance this improves in time, though? I mean, it's game one of the season, trying to bed in two new players, and, you know, even some of the players have kind of come back and we haven't played a lot of the friendlies. I know it sounds like I'm making excuses, but I'm trying to dig into quite how shambolic this really was. Is it not a platform to build on?
But surely, as I say, Gordon, last season was a wake-up call. We nearly lost the league last year. And it looks as if we've just kind of picked up from where we left off last season. So we were going to the game last night, going up to Parkhead, going, do you know what, it's a new season, a new freshness, I'm looking forward to this. And then within the first 20 minutes, you were sitting there going, what are we watching here? Like, we're literally passing. It's like you get a corner as well. This frustrates me. We go to a corner, we take the short corner, go back to McGregor, then go away back to Sinisalo. It's just absolutely boring to watch. And you're paying all that money for a season ticket, and that's what you're getting served up. Then, no, it's definitely no for me. As I say, if Martin O'Neill's happy with that, then that's up to Martin O'Neill. But the majority of the Celtic fans we are not going to accept that.
Yeah, I get what Ross says. I don't think Celtic moved the ball quick enough last night for me, but I found Dundee were very well organised. My big problem with Celtic looking them once again is the transfer window, because Ross mentions it there, right? Tierney goes off, and that's what's been happening since Tierney came back. You've no cover there. You've got to play Alistair Johnston back to the left back position. We touched on it. Yang plays wide left. We all know his best position's wide right. You brought in a striker who's scored goals in the pre-season friendlies, and even the manager comes out and admits, look, we've played him, that's not really his preferred position. So you're sort of your squad's all over the place. And I think that's where, look, I wasn't interested in, I think Rossi's went a wee bit heavy. Negrin, for instance, for me, right? Now, I don't see him lighting up a game, I keep saying this, but he scored 20, was it 20 or 21 goals last season for Midley Park. He helped Celtic win the league, because take his goals away. So, and then he's opened his account last night again, a terrific ball with Tierney and a good header. Yes, he doesn't do much, but I still think you need a midfield player that's got to bag you 10, 15 goals a season if you're going to be really up there challenging. And he's a guy that can do that. So you've got to take him for what his strength is. Where I will agree with, well, I won't agree, I wouldn't sell Ingles for nothing. But if a big bid come in again for Arne Ingles, I totally agree. I don't know why Celtic don't cash in it.
I think they will though, won't they? It's not just about timing. I'm interested in the range of opinions, Killian. I didn't necessarily expect people to go as far as shambolic, the performance last night, but what I did maybe see coming a bit more was, is this all built on the fear about the Champions League? The notion from the Celtic fans, like, how could you possibly go into another Champions League playoff underprepared? That's what Ross fears.
Yeah, I think there's the fear of repeating what happened last season. I don't think Martin O'Neill was too pleased with the performance last night. I know maybe his quotes will say okay or fine, but the tone in his voice when he said it suggested otherwise. I think he knows it, and I don't know, the whole left back thing is weird. I don't know why, I still don't know why Kieran Tierney can't play 90 minutes, and I don't know if that's a case of, I feel like he could have went on and finished the game. Is it another chance for Martin O'Neill to show, look, I need a left back, I need cover, I'm having to switch guys around and play Alistair Johnston left back, who probably is going to leave now, so if he wasn't there, who was he going to play left back? I don't think it's as Ross says, I don't think it's at shambolic levels or anything like that, but I get the fear of history repeating itself from last season. And again, like Gordon saying, it's all boiling down to, again, the whole thing of recruitment and structure and getting players in place.
Speaking of which, did you see the story about the winger from Italy? So Martin, it's Fares Gyökeres. Martin O'Neill sounded, what's the right phrase, fairly confident. Maybe I've gone too strong on that, but confident enough, or certainly making the noises as if it was a realistic possibility, it could happen. So Sky reported, I think it was last night, that Frosinone, his club, have rejected an £8 million bid from Rangers, mm-hmm, just after Celtic had a £6 million. Turned out, it's been a while since we had a good old tug of war, as the tabloids would call it. But the story also goes that the Italian club are reluctant to sell unless the offer reaches 15 to 20 million euros. So it sounds like they're both, well, that they would be both miles off so far. Mm-hmm. Should be interesting that if, you know, Martin Neal, like I say, sounded confident enough at the weekend. Fair enough, if Celtic miss out on it, they miss out, but I think the fans will be annoyed. If he then rocks up at Rangers, phone lines will be lively.
Oh yeah, I don't think the Celtic fans will be happy at all. I don't think Martin O'Neill would be happy. Like, I don't know what it is with Celtic just now. Yes, they can harp on about, we have spent 17 million in two players. You brought 16 in, so basically you've spent around about £1 million. You need more players. Everybody can see that. A normal fan going along to the game can sit there, they can look at the squad, can look at what's coming off the bench, having to move Alistair Johnston to left back, having to play a striker you brought in for millions in the wrong position. Yang, who was always very good last season off the right-hand side, mm-hmm, switch him to left. Of course, everybody can see it.
Thank you to Ross. Fares Gedjemis, is that one you want to discuss? Speaking of which, Rangers look like they will sign Daisuke Yokota, a Japanese winger, trying to get him in time for the game against Killian's old team. So it might be a nice opportunity to switch focus to Rangers, either European games or their recruitment and what they need. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what you are made of. 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Killian Sheridan are here. It's 01419511025. Lots been said about Celtic's opening weekend victory last night. If you've got any thoughts, keep them coming. Rangers fans, it looks like you are on the verge of signing at least one new winger. What do you make of that? Is that one that excites you? I know the way the modern world works, you'll have been trawling through YouTube and all corners of the internet to find out footage and stats and reports on him. So are you impressed with what you've seen? Is that making you feel any better about the recruitment? Graeme Souness spoke today, not too impressed with Rangers recruitment, it has to be said. So give us your thoughts on it all, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Tiebreaker defeat for you last week, was it? Yeah, that rings a bell.
Did I make it to a tiebreaker?
Did he just lose? Lose outright?
You did not make it to a tiebreaker.
I appreciate the effort trying to.
Are you still waiting for your full debut for this season? You've been poised and ready to go. Right, anyway, Scott's on the line to play. How are you, Scott?
Thanks, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. Now, the main news, forget your transfers and all that insignificant stuff, is the Beat the Pundit coin had gone walkies last night. And it's returned. I like to think that's because we shamed whoever it was that stole it into returning it. You know, we're fair like that. We don't ask questions. We just ask that it gets returned to its rightful spot.
Okay, that's fine.
And it is back. Okay. So the blue side of the coin will be for Killian Sheridan, and the red side will be for Gordon Dalziel. Let's see how we go. And it is blue. I'm afraid you're back in the saddle. Chance to
redemption.
Exactly. Make up for last week. Scott will play first, so let's give Killian something else to listen to. I think Killian's personally requested that we just give him piano tracks just so he can brush up on his skills during the Beat the Pundit. But Scott, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who was the last Rangers manager to complete a full season?
Mark Warburton.
How many divisions are in the SPFL? Scott? Oh, it's a disaster. Can you hear us, Scott? Where's he gone? Right, what are we going to do? This is the worst. The wonders of modern technology. Killian, you can take your take your headphones off. Can you hear us?
So
Scott
now,
just like cut out. He heard one question.
See that song?
I'll take it.
See that song?
Yeah.
That was the first record I ever broke my life.
What was it?
Band of Gold.
That's quite fitting for you, a man who became heavily involved.
I thought you were
going
to go on somewhere else from Broke.
No, Band of Gold. That's it. Where's Scott?
I think he's back. Scott, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, Scott.
Don't know what to do here, if I'm being honest. The beauty of live radio.
I think you need to start again and just hope that.
But he's heard the first two questions.
I can know, but Scott's not.
Can't he give him them?
Well, why don't you start for 3 to 10? Because you're not going to get through 7. Mm. Just talk slowly.
Yeah, we'll see. Right, let's give Killian something else to listen to. Scott, you ready?
I'm ready.
Good. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who did Celtic have as a kit manufacturer before Adidas?
Umbro.
Name either team who lost a League Cup semi-final last season.
Pick.
Who's Aberdeen's captain?
Pass.
Gordon Strachan is a technical director at which club?
Fairmont.
In what year did St Johnston win the Cup double?
2021.
Which Motherwell player shares his surname with a fictional pirate?
With a fictional pirate? Not a clue.
Oh my goodness. That last question, I hadn't checked down that far because, you know, I thought we were starting.
They're quite easy tonight.
Do you think so?
Aye.
Killian, are you ready?
Yeah.
This has been farcical. Beat the pundit. Let's see how we go. Your 30 seconds starts now. Who did Celtic have as a kit manufacturer before Adidas?
Nike.
Name either team who lost a League Cup semi-final last season.
Pass.
Who's Rangers? Who's Aberdeen's captain?
Pass.
Gordon Strachan's technical director at which club?
Dundee.
In what year did St Johnstone win the Cup double?
2016.
Which Motherwell player shares his surname with a fictional pirate?
Pass.
The Dunfermline team famously sang a song. Famously sang a song to the theme of which soap opera?
Carnation Street.
Famously.
Famously.
Maybe it was famous back in the day. It wasn't one that was on my radar.
Yeah,
I have to say,
nightmare.
New Balance, True Me.
Scott,
and then I wasn't listening to the.
What do you think?
What horrendous question.
They were really tough. But by the way, the first two were fine. But then we had to miss them out because Scott got them before he cut off. Do you know what I mean? Well, to be fair, he didn't actually get them right. The questions you missed out on. Who was the last Rangers manager to complete a full season?
So I didn't get the first.
Van Bronckhorst.
Okay.
It was Gerrard. Scott got it wrong. And then I asked him, how many divisions on the SPFL? Four. And it went blank. So we started at, who did Celtic have before Adidas? It was New Balance. Nil. None of you got it. Name either team who lost a League Cup semi last season. Motherwell or Rangers. Nil. None of you got that.
Wow.
Aberdeen's captain is Kevin Nisbet. Yeah. None of you got it.
Oh, that's
nil.
A good game.
Nil. We'll come back to the next one. In what year did St Johnstone win a cup double? It was 2021. None of you got it. Nil.
2021.
Oh, did you? Oh, my apologies, Scott. How dare I? Do you know what?
Did he?
I believe you. To be fair, the producers backed him up. I think because my heart rate was already picking up at the ridiculousness of this next question when I got to that point. Which Motherwell player shares his surname with a fictional pirate?
Come on.
Long.
He's been the Motherwell captain for the last couple
Sparrow.
Of games. There you go.
Sparrow.
Tom Sparrow.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say there.
Yeah, no, I'm worried about that.
Long John Silver.
I'm worried about how that question could go. It was Tom Sparrow, and the Dunfermline team famously sang a song to the theme of. Have we got a clip?
Should have went with
East End.
There you go. What year was that? That sounds really up your. That sounds your era.
Honestly never heard that. Never heard that.
Go and make up one for me to the tune of Coronation Street then. Come on, Mr. Composer. You can get back to me, right? I want to see your Instagram tonight. Is you Coronation
on the piano.
Coronation Street theme tune singing about Dunfermline. I think we're off to another tiebreaker, aren't we?
No, because you went back to a question.
Aye, he got it. Dundee, Gordon Strachan.
I've scraped Scott the tiebreaker here.
He's scraped the tiebreaker indeed. Right, oh, it's a good question. I would not know where to begin on this. How many goals did Scotland score under Steve Clarke? Don't say anything yet, Scott. Killian, quickly write it down. How many goals did Scotland score under Steve Clarke? Scott, what are you going for? Scott?
84.
What? Killian, listen, I know he got criticised for a lack of attacking intent, but he was there for about 8 years, got to three major trophies, won qualification groups. You've got him down for 43 goals, for goodness sake.
8 years, was he?
It was 127 goals.
Nah, I would never get anywhere.
So Scott and Wishaw, that was, no offence, I mean this in the nicest way, one of the worst victories I've ever seen on Beat the Pundit. But they all count, don't they?
So, well, Gordon would have got a donut, so.
100% he would have. No, struggled
no they were easy tonight, I thought.
Would you have got Captain Jack Sparrow?
Oh, well, I did get it, I told you.
Yeah. New Balance and Kevin Nisbet
Dundee
were bad ones.
Kevin yes. Nisbet, easy. What was the other one?
It doesn't matter. Scott is
a Motherwell of Rangers.
Would you go? What, are you going for the coin or the signed ball, Scott?
I'll take the coin, please.
Yeah, a man of taste. Who's your team? Well, we're at
the
it.
Rangers.
Right, what are you thinking then after the weekend and the transfers and all that stuff?
It was just same old on Friday night. Felt like I was watching the same team from last year. So, but hopefully, with a couple of additions in the wing, it'll make a difference.
On that, so you'll have seen the news. Last night we spoke about it earlier on, closing in on a new winger. Is that the priority area for you? Then you can does that that cheer you up a bit? Is it you heading in the right direction, this deal that you're closing in on?
This boy, but I'll take anything at this point. I'll take anybody at this point. So, but yeah, we need at least, I would say, possibly three we need in that area, but I think they'll only sign probably two. So, we're not in a good position right now.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be in this position.
Daisuke Yokota, Gordon, transfer understood to be worth about just under 3 million plus the old add-ons. 5 goals, 4 assists in the second tier in Germany last season. 26-year-old, looks imminent to the point where it looks like Rangers are trying to make it happen and get him in time and to go in the European squad. Again, I think we're all doing that thing you do, looking in YouTube, having a read around. So let's not pretend we're experts now on the player, but the kind of area is obvious, I think, what all Rangers fans want.
Yeah, I think they need more. I know he started on Friday night, Kasama. Doesn't do enough for me, get hooked at half time. I totally agree with Scott. I was looking for a lot better from Rangers. Thought Asgard, second half, terrific goal. Looks like he's come back from the World Cup with a real bit of confidence. Could be a big season for him. Curtis comes on, 81 minutes. I just think that they need a bit of quality there. If you're going to have your two main strikers, I was surprised that Ndili started in front of Chirmiti. But at halftime, he decided to change that. If you're going to have these two up there, like Shanklin and Chirmiti, you've got to get the service in. There's no doubt, striker needs service, he needs quality balls. We talked on the Celtic centre forward, Kasper, who comes alive in the box. No better than Shanklin. He's one of the best goal scorers in Scotland. So you need to get the service in. So I'm not surprised that Derek has went into the market, a wide player in. I think he might look to try and get another one.
I never felt like Chirmiti and Shanklin really played together when they both were on the pitch at the same time. Maybe that's why he went with Ndiri. But I just think I know Scott's saying they need to get three wingers, and that two of them can only play, which is a good thing. So if they do get two, then they probably want to be the better of the two. I think for their game on Thursday, I think Jagiellonia will be a much better team than Dundee United will be. I think Rangers will need to improve a lot on Friday night's performance to go through this tie.
Are they a decent side?
They will be, yeah. I saw a lot of... I didn't watch a lot of them in the league last season, but I saw a lot of them in the Conference League, and they got quite far in that. They got out of their groups, got through maybe one or two qualifying rounds or the knockout rounds, and they play a really nice, attractive style of football. They've got good players. They've got quite a young team, but they always seem to buy in well, sell on, do well. They'll be an improvement on Dundee United.
Is that a worrying scouting report from the former Jagiellonia striker, Scott?
Well, listen, I would take a draw at this point. I think if you take a draw and then get them back at Ibrox, I think they've got a chance. But it's definitely be a tough game. Absolutely.
You still have Rangers down as favourites for that tie or not, Killian?
I think it's quite even.
Scott, what do you think?
I think it's quite even. I actually think it's quite even as well. I've actually watched them a few times as well, and they're not a bad team at all.
This, in theory, though, should be overcome this, Scott. You would then fancy it, wouldn't you? Because you look at Larn or the Georgian side that you could get in the following round. This looks like this would be the toughest test. Would that be fair?
Absolutely, and even if it did go into the Conference League, I fancy us in that tie as well. So I definitely think this will be the hardest tie out of the lot.
Always just comes, it does come early, Gordon, and you can say this about loads of teams. So we spoke about Celtic earlier on for Rangers. Maybe in 2 weeks' time, both these two wingers are in. They've both played in the league and scored in the league, and everybody's feeling a lot more confident about it. But you can understand why Tannadice, coming off the back of Tannadice, there's not loads of optimism at the moment.
I think because the situation, Derek McInnes come in, that's who the Rangers fans wanted. Brought in a few Hearts players, decent players. Had a few signings. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, right, this could be a big, big season for Rangers. And no credit. I think the credit must go to Jim Goodwin and Dundee United. I thought first half they were excellent. Played out for the back, looked very confident indeed. I thought the boy Will Ferry down the left-hand side was excellent on the night. So, yeah, it's not the ideal preparation for your first game in Europe. But the good thing is, as Scott said there, you know, if they can go over there, get a draw or whatever it may be, then you've got to fancy them at home against Ibrox Thursday night, big crowd. So it's all about Thursday night and getting that result.
How do you feel about recruitment generally, Scott, so far?
Actually, I'm happy with some bits of the business. I'm happy with, obviously, Shankland and Devlin and things like that, but I think there's too many squad players still. I think they've signed too many squad players, so I think they still need some quality in certain areas. So I think they will need to spend a good bit of money before the window closes.
What comes next after wingers then?
I think we need at least two or three wingers, and we need a centre-back and a left-back, definitely. At least four or five, I still think we need in. And that's before any departures.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a lot of business to be done in the minds of Scott. The South African defender that was signed last week, Gordon, that might have helped smooth things over a little bit, because they did have defensive issues potentially. He was a visa risk at not getting it done in time for the game. It looks like he has, so that at least gives another body, because Ben Godfrey's hamstring injury, John Souter's so far out of the picture, he's not even been named in the European squad. There were going to be issues there, but then again, there might, does he get pitched straight in to start the match in Europe, or do Rangers just have to find a...
I don't know. I think Derek would be confident if he's seen enough of him, and he would pitch him right in. Who's the other options to get in there? I do agree. I think that Rangers do need still some quality players in, Gordon. They're overloaded in the middle of the park. Let's not be kidding. They've got enough midfield players. They've got strikers up front. So the wide areas and maybe another centre-half and a little bit of cover in the left-back position would be ideal for them.
I'm surprised they hadn't signed a centre-half sooner, given Godfrey's injury problems over the past few seasons. I thought they might have had something in place. Kind of for, obviously aren't expecting that to happen in the first game, but I thought they might have had that maybe done a little bit earlier than what they have.
Thank you very much to Scott in Wishaw, giving us his thoughts there after they beat the Pundit victory. Let's hear a bit from Graeme Souness. He's been speaking today about Rangers recruitment. It's obviously one of the hot topics, if you like. He is always quite forthcoming and his opinions about what's been going on. But I think perhaps this is one that maybe, I don't know, maybe a fair section of the Rangers fans would agree with. Let's hear it.
You've got to get it right on the pitch. And that's where Rangers, in the recent history, have got it wrong. The recruitment's not been good enough. You get football people in making football decisions. It's not rocket science. And they're not alone. If you're giving someone that power who's never played the game, I'll say that again. If you're giving that power to someone who's never played the game, I'll say it a third time for a reason. If you give that power to someone who's never played the game, you're asking for trouble. And I know everything is based on stats and numbers. That only takes you so far. Let football people make football decisions. Someone coming in who's never kicked a ball, making those shouts, is extremely brave if it's all to do with stats and figures, to do with analysts who look at computer screens with lots of numbers on them. Nah, you've got no chance. That doesn't work. Don't care what anyone says, it doesn't work.
It's interesting, because I think a lot of Rangers fans will be like listening to the radio saying he's absolutely right. You know, you look a player in the eye and you need to take, it takes a certain character to cut it at Rangers, and I think there's a lot of evidence to back up the fact that they have got it wrong in recent seasons. As a blanket statement, I don't know. I would imagine there are some pretty outstanding scouts and analysts out there in the modern game that haven't played. I think there probably are. You look at a lot of these modern clubs and the way they work, I'll bet you, and I wish I could think of some off the top of my head, I bet you there are some that have got an outstanding recruitment record having never played. So I don't know if it is automatic, but again, maybe Rangers, maybe the expectation and you know, the size of the club and the scrutiny, maybe that is the type of fit that...
Yeah,
because like I said, I think the Rangers fans will agree with what you said.
Yeah, I can understand what he's trying to say, because he says it three times. and look, the modern day game's completely different. In days gone by, the manager used to go out and sign the players, and that was his job, and he sort of lived and died by that, these signings. Nowadays, it's completely different how recruitment's done. Yes, there's a lot of people there that just takes the stats and looks at everything else, but you've got to know the person as well. You've got to know if he's got to fit into the Scottish game. I think you've got to do that sort of work. But I'm not really... Do I buy into, well, if you've not played the game? I don't know about that in modern day.
I'd say three or four of their signings have been Derek McInnes.
I think Derek would have had it.
Well, to be fair, Shankland, I think, was actually lined up prior, but I know what you mean. He's clearly got a fairly good knowledge of it.
I think Derek will have a big say in who comes in as well. There's no doubt in that. But, people say, well, you've not played the game. I've seen managers that have been absolutely brilliant that have never played the game. You know what I mean?
I've also seen great players clueless.
I've been bad managers.
About stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like, and recruitment as well. So, look, Graeme Souness is... I like Graeme Souness. I like listening to him. I think he's got great knowledge of the game. Obviously, loves Rangers as a club. And I think he's just like every other Rangers fan. I think he's a bit frustrated because they're spending money, they're backing their managers, and they're looking for a big improvement because, what is it, Celtic's won the last 14 out of 15 leagues or whatever it may be. So if you're connected with Rangers, that's not good enough, and you're looking for a big, big season.
Oh, 1-4-1. Sorry, on you go.
Actually, no, like now the kind of the gold dust for people in those kind of roles is there's courses and qualifications for everything within football now. You can now get guys who have played at a very good level or good players under our actual like football people have played football their whole careers and then have went on and got the qualifications and studied who can kind of, they're a hybrid of both. Mm-hmm. You can go in and they can speak to someone who is purely stats who maybe hasn't played the game. Whereas the problem is if you're just a football person, kind of like old school, and you're then having to deal with someone who's purely stats or data driven, it's hard really to find like common a connection ground. Or something like doing deals.
01419511025, good time to call. We could speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan are here. It's 01419511025. Celtic's curtain raiser, their recruitment. Is it the start of two up front? We've got Rangers recruitment being called into question. We've got quite a lot going on already, and we'd love for you to get involved. Loads of time to talk about something else if you want to move the subject on and look at other teams from the weekend or so on again. We would love to have you on 01419511025. Let me give you this question first.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Can I just put on record my concerns about this question before we even go any further? I've got the fear that you are going to cause an international incident in trying to answer these. So please, just take a breath before you shout any guesses at
me. A deep one.
Try and come out with some actual names of people that you remember.
Right.
Can you name the last 8 Japanese players to play for Celtic? Now, I know there's going to be some that you'll get easily. It's the ones you can't quite remember that I'm worried about. So the last 8 Japanese players to play for Celtic.
Shin.
Okay, not where I thought you would start, but whatever. Shin Yamada. Okay.
Do you like that, mate?
Showing off his knowledge now.
Right, I'll go with Maeda.
Well done, yeah.
Hatate.
Uh-huh. And?
Who's the other one? Kyogo.
Right, good. There's the easy ones out of the way. Let's see what we can come up with. Leave it there. Thank you to Jack and Renfrew for sending the question in. And the email you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Arcaplan Glasgow. As well, so we will get back to that one. You know, can we not get you doing the halftime draw or something for your former club against Rangers? Nobody invited back. Did the lounges? Do they have that in Poland?
Yeah, they've got a lovely new stadium. 18,000.
Did you play a lot of games for them?
Yeah.
Did you?
I got like 3 seasons, but like 2 half seasons. So I went January to the end of the season, then a full season, then left in the following January. Oh, we finished second both seasons.
And did you score a lot of goals for them?
Done all right. Maybe like 17, 18 goals, something.
Well, that's good, mate.
Is that one of your...
Done all right over there. I spoke with them yesterday morning.
What?
I spoke with them for doing just a little interview with the club.
Ah, see, that's what I was getting.
Fondly remembered.
Is that right?
That's what they tell me to my face. But
I think half-time draw. I think we can whip up enough publicity. We're massive in Poland. I think we can get him doing half-time draw.
So is that on their portal? That's on their club TV
for their
Polish.
Yeah, I lost a little bit of it,
but you were decent when you were there.
It was funny. I used to go to. So we brought in a manager who didn't really have much English, and he wanted all the new signings, anyone who didn't know Polish, to go and do Polish lessons and learn Polish.
Great.
So see, at the end of a transfer window when all the players were signed, you'd then arrange, right, these guys need to go to the Polish lessons. So we'd go, there'd be like five or six of us, and then, so that's say like September, October time we started. It then comes to the winter, January transfer window, Poland's open until the end of February. So then March time, there's like a few more players. So the new guy, two guys come in, and then they're starting back at
basic level.
At base level.
Oh, no.
So then you're going back in, and we would never get to like...
They would just make the rest of you go back to the beginning.
Yeah, we'd never get beyond like 2 months of lessons. So I had a really good base level. And then after that, I'd be like, I'd struggle.
So that stuff like...
And I've forgotten it all now.
And was that football specific?
No. No,
so it was I like going to the beach, like you used to do it at school.
No, it must be my name is like
I think you got beyond Alain, that.
Schumapel Gordon.
Oh my goodness, right, move on. He's
Gordon.
Sounds better, doesn't it?
Honestly, this sums you. Have you told Killian what your latest hobby is?
Yeah.
He's discovered AI.
I'm loving it. I'm all over it.
He just said in the office, I heard him utter the phrase, I am massive on ChatGPT, was what he said earlier.
I don't think it was pronounced like that. It was like a cross of the Boris Johnson one.
I was obviously off at the weekend, but I've got spies in here and they tell me that of all the things that AI is capable of, last week you looked up a recipe for your dinner.
Yeah.
Which you've been able to do on the internet for quite some time, let me tell you.
Not as good, the ingredients are better.
And secondly, and quite tellingly, you asked it to come up with an alter ego for yourself.
Yeah,
is that where your brain works? Well, like of all the things it could do, you decided.
I'd like to change my name. Yeah.
What did it come up with?
Do you really want to know? Yeah. But I've got to say, right. So I says, look, give me a name. I didn't say I was in radio. I says I was in the movies. Right. I sort of exaggerated a little bit in the movies.
But did you give it your name?
Yeah. I says, please make up a stage name for me.
A stage name?
I work in the movies industry.
Well, that's misleading then, isn't it? But anyway, so what's your new alter ego?
Grant Ryder.
They really do write themselves sometimes. Seriously.
Roger Hahn, I'll tell you, he witnessed it. He was there. We were all excited to see what it come up with. Grant Ryder, I love the name Grant.
I need to see some of your other questions that you've asked.
I think it's best that we don't. Anyway, please 01419511025. Put your point to Killian Sheridan and Grant Ryder here to take your calls between now and 8 o'clock. It's funny, we were just actually talking about recruitment for Celtic onto Rangers. Graham Souness's thoughts on the kind of a traditional approach versus a modern approach and all that, which leads us on nicely. A bit of a special guest joining us on the show, St Mirren's COO Keith Lasley is on with us. How are you, Keith?
All good, Gordon, yourself?
Yeah, all good, Keith. Now we're going to talk to you in a second about St Mirren's new strategy, the direction that the club's heading in, but it's Tuesday night, so first question needs to be, how was the weekend? You must have enjoyed what you saw.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you were there yourself, so you know, I think hopefully you saw the same thing, which was a lot of new players still bedding in, I would say, but certainly a lot of good signs from those new players and some of the old ones, I've got to say. But a good mix, and I think the League Cup for us, which I think all the clubs saying it comes early, and you're still trying to, shape things, how things are going to look moving forward. Still active in the transfer market, etc. But I think Saturday was probably the first time, it clicked, if you like. And I think Craig, was really pleased with all aspects of the game, rather than maybe in the League Cup games where I still thought we performed well at times, but in some aspects of the game just hadn't quite hit top form. So it was good. It was nice on Saturday, an away game, albeit, I think it's been well documented Falkirk or maybe lost a couple of players, influential players from last season, but you've still got to go and win the game, and it's still a very good Falkirk side. So absolutely delighted with the start, and you know, but that's, we know that's all it is. But you know, say it's onwards and upwards, hopefully.
Pretty convincing win as well. Could have been more.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, lost count of the amount of counter attacks we seem to have, and 3-on-3 and 2-on-2 situations, and but you know, I think that was testament to the players, and you know, to go to Falkirk, I don't care, you know, what you know, so I think a lot has been made of maybe a little bit of transition there, which is, you know, right. I think they have lost a couple of good players, but still a lot of good players in that team, and for us to go there and make as many chances as we did, you know, was encouraging. So so not getting carried away, that's for sure, but you know, a good start, and you know, look forward to a home game this week.
Be honest though, right, because I know, I'm sure you, Craig, the fans want to keep Killian Phillips. See, when he scored his second and then started doing Rabona passes down the line, did you feel like just saying that, get him off and draw less attention to himself? Have you got a job on your hands trying to keep him before the end of the window?
Yeah, I mean, well, the first thing I thought is that I think I'd have put my hip out if I'd have tried what he'd have tried. But yeah, I mean, listen, yeah, possibly. But, you know, as, you know, maybe going to speak about what the strategy of a club is, you know, certainly we want to, you know, entice young, hungry players that are going to develop. And that's exactly what Killian's done at St Mirren. You know, I think, you know, he's come in and not to say he'd lost his way, but Killian had two or three loans that just hadn't quite worked out from Crystal Palace. And, you know, I think we gave him somewhere that he could come in and develop, you know, firstly under Stephen, obviously, and now under Craig. And yeah, he's still at a fantastic age, and he's certainly going to be an asset to us for as long as he's here. And we, you know, still certainly hope that's going to be the case. But, you know, if it is, and, you know, bigger clubs and suitors come along, you know, that, so be it. But certainly that will only be at the right, hopefully the right time and the right price for us if that is going to be the case. But I know Killian's has loved his time at the club and continues to love his time at the club. So, you know, and I think Saturday's evidence shows that, you know, he's still, you know, still improving, still got a lot to do, but he's certainly having such an impact on the team at the moment.
Yeah, and still the thickest Irish accent I've ever heard, Killian Sheridan. nothing like yours. Keith, the main reason we got you on is to talk a little bit about the new direction you're trying to take St Mirren in. So you launched a new club strategy a couple of weeks ago. It's called Our Progression, and stop me if I've got it wrong, it basically centres around, you know, trying to be a bit more sustainable going forward, playing more academy players and trading better and selling players for more money, as you alluded to there. Talk to us a bit more about what that looks like, because I think at a basic level, I suppose most clubs kind of try and do that, but what does it actually mean to put such an emphasis on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think every club's got their own sort of priorities and own sort of set of circumstances in terms of, you know, their ownership model, you know, how they're financed, how they operate, the size of the club, you know, and you know, for us, and also I think it was important for us to signpost where football is as an industry, you know, and I think the part of the document hopefully does that to say, to be honest, football, from a financial standpoint, you know, you don't need to look very far, both here and certainly across the border, to say it's become worryingly, alarmingly the norm for clubs to lose pretty substantial amounts of money. And we just know that can't be the case for us. As a fan-owned club, we're very proud that we run the club on a very prudent basis. You know, even the success that we've had, relative success we've had in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, we've run at a break-even or better position, which is not easy to do. I think what we are signposting now, that is just becoming so hard to do and harder to do, given the, you know, sort of wage inflation driven by England, driven by, you know, even here in Scotland. And to keep up, you know, we really need a sort of thorough and clear plan to navigate that and you know, probably continue some of the work that we're already doing, but really emphasise those parts, as you said, around smart recruitment, you know, building and truly try and build on the foundations of what is already, a really strong academy. But we need to continue to build at that and give players a really clear pathway. And you're right, I think all clubs kind of want to say and do that, but, you know, we need to live and breathe it. It's simple as that. And that probably comes from two things. One, a financial one, as we've spoken about, because, you know, we need to bring these players through and trade effectively from elsewhere to turn over players, as, you know, you know, we've done maybe with Miguel Freckleton, potentially Killian Phillips at the right time. But, you know, I think Motherwell recently are a good example of that as well, obviously, what they've done. And there's also an identity point as well, you know, of who we want to be and what we want to be. And I think as a fan-owned club that's, you know, at the centre of its community, we want a young, hungry team bringing through as many of our own players as we can that our fans can connect with, essentially. And you know, for the long term of the club and both of those counts, we think it's the right way forward. And as I said to you, we don't want it just to be words. You know, we want to sort of walk the walk, and you know, hopefully you'll see clear evidence of that in the sort of weeks and months ahead.
So again, what sort of practical steps can you do then? What's different? Because if you alluded to, it's been a pretty successful era for St Mirren this, but clearly you're wanting to look a bit more longer term. So how do you recruit differently to what you're doing? We've been speaking about data previously. Is that part of it? And then, you know, how do you trade more effectively? What are the sort of practical steps that are being put in place to try and give you the best chance?
Yeah, I think predominantly that is, I suppose, structure and people are the two key things there. So we need to get the right structure in place. We need to have an ecosystem which is basically the one football system from top to bottom, that you don't have a first team and an academy sitting separately in many ways, and the staffing sits separately and the discussions sit separately. You know, essentially when we're speaking about football, we're speaking about St Mirren as one football sort of system from first team down to under-10s. And that sounds, again, on paper, oh, every club does that. Well, in my experience, that's not always the case. You kind of talk about it, but you don't really do it. So we've got to change that and make sure we're living and breathing that every day. And your first team manager is aware of, you know, all the prospects that are coming through, their aging stage, their development process, you know, where they're still short, where they're strong. And that's actively something that we're really pushing strongly on. And then from a trading perspective, you need the right recruitment team, you know, and Gavin Miller's recently come in from Motherwell, who did some great work there previously and has come in to head that up, and he's in charge of sort of leading that department now, and you know what that takes from a data perspective, boots in the ground, scouts, you know, system, again joining all that up, and he's working you know, very hard, having only been in the club a couple of months, to get that bit right. And I think you'll see from an earlier recruitment, there's also a focus on, yeah, probably reducing the age of the squad. I don't think that's, you know, that's not failed dramatically, but it's certainly a conscious effort to bring players in at a younger age. They have more development in them, that we can then be the club to do that, have that development. And then essentially contract length as well is probably the final thing I would say, and trying to have a bit of a systematic approach to contract length and options and everything that goes into a contract negotiation to give ourselves the best opportunity as a club at exit, that, you know, we can exit at the right time, at the right point in the player's journey with us, essentially. So, you know, a lot, you know, to think about there. And then it's about having, within the resources that we do have as a club, prioritising where that money's spent. And that's hopefully sort of in a short summary version what we are trying to do.
So how important is data becoming then, right? Because we debated it very loosely earlier on, and I don't think Gavin would mind. So Gavin Miller, who you mentioned, brought from Motherwell, you know my personal leanings quite well, as it happens to be the case that our paths would have crossed many years ago when you played there. So I was picking Gavin's brains when I was out seeing you guys at the training ground the other day and talking about how do you take someone like Elliot Watt, who's at St Johnstone, can't really get a game, St Johnstone get relegated, and identify that he then becomes one of the best midfielders in the league. How much does data play a part in that? And ultimately, is that the type of thing you're going to try and replicate?
Yeah, I think that probably is. I mean, that is obviously maybe an overused phrase, I don't know. It's certainly, you know, again, every club seems to do it. But I suppose it's how you use it and how smartly you use it is the key thing. And Elliot Watt, a player like that, although obviously I wasn't involved in that, speaking to Gavin, again, it's identified players that, you know, everyone can see a good player, right? You go to a game and you see a good player, right? He's a great player. Most of the players are unaffordable to us. We try and need to find the players that maybe aren't quite as noticeable, essentially, at first viewing, but maybe the data then comes in to maybe, you know, it can unlock maybe bits of potential. So certain actions or certain repeated actions can flag up that link up with the way you want to play. And it just might be that's the thing that, you then, when you go and watch the player, you maybe watch them through a different lens and looking for certain different things that maybe, you know, other people aren't seeing just from going to watch the game, you know, without that, you know, knowledge in the background, or certainly foresight in the background. So I think that's what it can it can be. It's not the be all and end all. You know, it's still, at the end of the day, they've still got to have a process that leads from the data through to the player signing that involves, you know, people watching the player, background checks, character, you know, finance, everything that goes into making a player deal happen. But I think at the start of that journey, where data can really come into its own, is filtering that process. And really having an effect on hopefully finding or initiating the finding of untapped talent, essentially.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Keith Lazzy. We'll let him go because I'm looking at that clock and it's getting away from us, but things looking a bit different at St Mirren this season, so keep an eye on that, and we wish Keith and the rest of the guys well at trying to put that strategy into place. We'll round off tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard when we return.
Clyde One.
Before we give away some cash potentially though, or mark your card for giving away cash, it's £550,000. Text YES to 61025 to enter the draw. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate, or enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. The phone entry details and the rules for this network competition are there. It is over 18s and the lines close 5pm Friday, so text YES to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Killian Sheridan and Gordon DL. It's going to be a short part looking at that clock. I got a bit carried away with Keith Lasley there. I just quite like that though. I think it's interesting because, like, thinking of the clubs having to wake up to the financial realities, because as I said, this has been a successful time, this, for St Mirren. Three top six finishes, European football, a cup win, and yet now it's a case of, like, we need to start thinking about what happens next year rather than what happens on Saturday. That's quite, you know, that's quite
a, I feel like he's in a win-win with Killian Phillips.
Yeah.
To keep him, brilliant to get to keep him. If to sell him, it kind of,
it's like, look, our new player trading plan, model, yeah, is up and running.
This is the results of it.
Yeah, it was interesting. Liked it.
Because see that those types of markets that St Mirren, you mentioned Motherwell, Kilmarnock, I always have those. I just think those three are so similar. I'm kind of similar-ish part of the country, similar size, argue out amongst yourselves. But that market that they used to be able to dip into, it's alarming that the National League in England is becoming too expensive. Some of the National League players in England are too expensive for Motherwell, Kilmarnock. That's outrageous.
Did you see the team turning down £1 million?
Exactly. And by the way, it won't be, it's not going to be all of them. I'm not for a second suggesting it is, but someone again was telling me that there are players in the National League in England £6,000 a week.
Oh.
So that's when you're in, I mean, Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts might not really be even willing to pay that. Never mind
National League.
Never mind Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, you know, Livy, St Johnstone, whatever. Yeah. So the clubs are going to have to box clever.
That's a great way of thought. And I think Keith recognised the fact to have a look at Motherwell, you know, this season, the money they've brought in, they've done their work, they've done the hard bit, they get pardon me, they get everything right, and they've cashed in quite rightly.
I just liked that example, and that was the one I used, again, for obvious personal leanings, but I'm not a big stats head, I'm not a big data guy, I wouldn't pretend to be, but I do think sometimes then you can't really argue, because I know there's then, I know. So if you're saying that the bit that brings Elliot Watt from relegation St Johnstone to Motherwell to be one of the best midfielders in the league, the people that were involved in that are telling you it was the numbers. So
I think it's easier to spot a hidden talent, a hidden gem, if you just see stats on a paper, and then you're like, wow, they're pretty impressive.
And by that doesn't guarantee you anything either. But it's just interesting that how, you know, how well that can still work here. It doesn't have to be at the top, you know, the top level.
Yeah, no, I think we saw examples of us last year, and hopefully we'll see some more this season.
Anyway, you two need to round off this teaser before we go. We're looking for the last eight Japanese players to play for Celtic. You've got Shin Yamada, Daisen Maeda, Kyogo, Ryo Hatate. You've got the easy ones.
Yeah, Nakamura must be one.
No, he's not in the last eight. It's all that recently, is that kind of modern batch. So there are another five.
The midfield player.
Another four, sorry.
Another four?
Four, yeah.
Oh no, I've got one.
Is it Kobayashi?
Yes, well done.
Well done. Oh, the centre back. Hardly played.
Playing on
Iwata?
Iwata, yeah.
Iwata. Out, I've no idea.
Gucci.
Tamaguchi.
Oh
my god. And yeah, actually, probably this is the hardest one. He's one of the more recent ones, though. So Idiguchi came over Ange time, didn't he? Yeah. Back with him. But this is one of them. This was one of the recent ones.
Where did he play?
He was a defender, wasn't he? Was he left back or something? Centre back, left back. Oh, I think he played once or twice, and the Celtic fans thought he was looked good. And then was it Brendan Rodgers said
I can't remember. I can see him left back. He was on
Inamura.
Inamura, yes.
There we go. Thank you, Killian Sheridan and Gordon DL. It will be match day minus one to use UEFA speak ahead of the big European games when we reconvene tomorrow. So make sure you join us. And in the meantime, just enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.